Now, there's a lot of misinformation happening out there, which is normal when a population, a community, entire countries are learning how to deal with a new health threat. What we know and who is at risk and how to help folks stay safe can be a rapidly changing information landscape. So to do that, to clear that up, that information landscape, we have called in a professional. That person is Dr. Shira Heisler, Medical Director for the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic. Welcome to Culture Shift.
Thank you so much. Glad to be back.
Okay, so we've turned to Dr. Heisler because clinics that treat sexually transmitted diseases have already been struggling to handle a huge increase in infections like syphilis and gonorrhea. And they now find themselves near the front lines in this new fight to control the rapidly spreading monkeypox outbreak. Despite the fact that the pox is not an STD, it does thrive in close quarters. We want you to be part of this conversation as well. I know you have concerns and questions about this, so give us a call right now at 313-577-1019 to get in the queue to ask your questions. 313-577-1019 is the number to call. All right, Shira, you were last on the show on July 28th, and at that time we had about 27 confirmed cases here in the state of Michigan. I believe that has increased since then.
Yeah, I just looked it up in the state. It's 108 or 109 as of today. I want to say this is probably a gross underestimation that comes from people not being able to get tested or not searching out for testing. So I think it's 109 here. And just so you know, in New York and California, those numbers are in the thousands. And unfortunately, I see this at this point in time just going to increase and increase.
It's a situation you're talking about where people not seeking treatment or not seeking a possible diagnosis. Is there confusion on how monkeypox is being transmitted and what it may look like in the early stages? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. I think, you know, kind of if you read the news, there's all this question, is this a sexually transmitted infection? And we are still getting data on that. Historically, this is not the mode of transmission, but infections and viruses can change. That doesn't even mean necessarily mutate genetically, but just how they're transmitting can change. So right now we are seeing who this is affecting. It's overwhelmingly men having sex with men, transgender women having sex with men. And as the study in this New England Journal of Medicine came out with over 500 patients, this was a global study of people with monkeypox. It was 95 to 96% of that population in within sexual encounters. So is this actually transmitting through semen and oral fluids? There is data to suggest that samples have been positive. They've been detecting monkeypox in semen. Or is it just close contact? We're figuring that out. We don't know. But I will say what we are seeing locally, what we are seeing nationally, is that these are in sexual encounters within the population.
Okay, so let me step this back a minute. I'm glad you went to that. So maybe we have, perhaps we have a general, you know, community misinformation or global misinformation about what an STD is, what it is not, and why something like, I was thinking over the weekend, like something like herpes, which we call an STD, but isn't specifically transmitted through fluids.
Great. I think comparing this to herpes, I think, is a great comparison. So is it very possible that in the near future, this will change in terms of categorization of monkeypox? It's very possible that this may switch to how we categorize it. But I think that comparing it to herpes, where it is not necessarily spread through fluids, right, through close contact, but it appears to happen through sexual encounters, I think is a great comparison.
Okay, and with something like herpes, which shows up mostly on softer tissues like inside of your mouth and XYZ, the monkeypox virus, or at least the what should we call those, lesions, boils,
yes,
pustules? What are
so lesions is a good kind of generalized term, and then kind of if you call them pustules or vesicles, those are all different dermatological characterizations of what they look like. We are seeing in this outbreak, the most common thing I'm seeing is pustular lesions. They look like pimples. And they can go through all these different stages and they can ulcerate and then they can ultimately scab over. That's what we are seeing. Also, something, again, that's unique about this outbreak compared to other ones, because of the sexual association of this, these lesions are happening very commonly in genital areas and in anal areas. And those are exceptionally painful. So I do want to say kind of there is this thing like, yes, this isn't HIV. People aren't dying from this. That is true. But it is extremely uncomfortable and painful. And so, you know, we're having people admitted because of urethral strictures. They can't pee. Some people are saying we call it proctitis, which is severe anal pain in lesions around the anal area. People can't even go to the bathroom because it's so painful, or even eat, because doing anything with that type of sort of movement is really painful. And I'm seeing that consistently right now.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing, that this is, although not deadly, extremely painful, extremely uncomfortable to go through. But what I was curious about with these lesions that we're talking about, so they can occur anywhere on the body.
They can. Okay. They can occur mouth, face, hands, chest, anywhere. But we are seeing a ton of lesions in the genital and anal area.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Shira Heisler at the Detroit STD Clinic. We are taking your calls right now, talking about the spread of monkeypox, things you need to look out for, any questions, concerns you may have. No question is off the table, really, here with Dr. Heisler. 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. That is the number to call and join the conversation. Call now and get in the queue now, because, you know, we do want to get your questions here on the air. I want to talk about something that has been making the rounds online, and that is there have been confirmed pediatric cases of monkeypox. I know parents, and I know parents online, I've been seeing them voice concern over schools reopening or opening up again for the fall and what that might mean for their children. What are we seeing as far as how this virus concerns pediatric populations?
So right now there is total in the United States, I just read yesterday, I think it's 9 cases, which compares to 14,000 of men predominantly. So just to give you kind of a stark difference, yes, it can affect kids because we know that it can transmit by skin-to-skin contact. We're seeing that those are predominantly household contacts, which is, I think, for this moment, and again, I want to say, this is ever-changing and evolving. So what I say today, if you see me in 2 weeks, maybe that won't be the case anymore. But in this moment, we're seeing more household contacts. We aren't seeing it in daycares right now. So am I worried about schools for kind of younger children? Not necessarily in this moment. College kids, I think that's a very legitimate concern, especially they are going to close bars and they live in close quarters and college kids are having sex. And so I think that is something to be thoughtful of. And I think that on college campuses, making vaccines readily available. You know, from the last time I was here, we've expanded eligibility in the state of Michigan, which is amazing. Really now, if you are a man having sex with men or a transgender woman having sex with men, and you've had two or more partners in the past year, if you've had an STI in the past year, if you're a commercial sex worker, if you're on PrEP, or if you have HIV, or you've had a contact to monkeypox, or you're even going to an event that would be like a ball or a bathhouse or a sauna, and you're just planning on going, you qualify. So please kind of spread. I want to spread awareness about the vaccine. In Detroit right now, you can get it at the Detroit Health Department or by us. We have a hotline, a monkeypox screening hotline. And that number is 313 313- 877-9080, and please call in and we can get you scheduled to get your vaccine.
We'll put that up on our Twitter page, and DET's Twitter page at DET Detroit is where to follow the whole station. Online at DET Culture Shift is how to follow the show. Again, we're talking to Dr. Shira Heisler, Medical Director of the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic, about what you need to know as far as the current situation with monkeypox here in the state of Michigan, and specifically here in the Tri-County area. You know, something you mentioned there, Dr. Heisler, was kids going back to college, specifically living in dorms, all very, very well packed into those dorms, and kind of touching each other's towels. There's all lots of different ways to interact with people, obviously. But with something like that, what do we need to know as far as far as monkeypox being found on items like towels, like door handles, like toilet seats?
Yeah, so great question. So I think, and this happened also in COVID, when we say, and you know, there's many articles, we found monkeypox on door handles or whatnot. The big question is you may have found the pathogen, but is there enough viral load for that to transmit and cause infection and disease in a human? That's the question. I will say right now, in this current time, we are not seeing that type of transmission. Yes, it is spreading through linens and towels. I wouldn't in close contact, but we are seeing a ton of monkeypox. They are in our clinic. A lot of patients, they're touching doors. You know, we're clearly cleaning, but they're clearly touching doors and all this, and no healthcare worker is getting it. So that is, I really kind of, again, in this moment in time, that is not, should be a worry for people in how we're getting it.
That's great. That's great to know. I'm glad we cleared that up, because there is a lot of talk on Twitter, a lot of misinformation going on about this virus. Okay, something else I want to talk about. You mentioned the vaccines. There are two types of vaccines that are they now available for distribution? Or are they still being studied?
So to clarify, there are two vaccines, but which is the ACAM and the JANOS. The ACAM is the old smallpox vaccine. It has significant side effects, some even fatal. No one is giving that out right now. That's not what people are getting. All we're giving out is the JANOS vaccine. And kind of when I spoke here last time, the state, we were giving it subcutaneously in one vial, which is 0.5 milliliters equaled one dose. Now they're by the FDA in the state of Michigan changed it. We are now giving it intradermally. There is good. There is data from a 2015 study that compared this vaccine given subcutaneously and intradermally. So just a different route of administration. And it showed up equal, pretty identical immune response. And so intradermally, if you give it that route, it's 0.1 milliliters. So one vial can actually give five doses. So we now five times the amount that we could give 3 weeks ago.
That's fantastic. Again, what was that number that you mentioned that for people to call if they are interested in getting the vaccine?
313-577-9080. And this will, you'll go through a screening, the medical students, I've rallied medical students to do this. They will do a screening. And if you are eligible, then they will schedule you.
Okay. We saw in the COVID-19 pandemic, still happening with that, a lot of conspiracy type thinking, a whole lot of sometimes purposeful, sometimes not misinformation being put out there about that. Is this something that we need to be concerned about with monkeypox?
I would imagine so. I think that the thing that's really kind of, I would say, really upsetting and scary to me is because of who it unfortunately is affecting, which is the queer community right now, is then this is a real big way that people can fuel homophobia. We've already seen from kind of right-wing pundits or whatnot, like, well, now kids are getting it. Well, you say that it's sexually associated, so now all these kids need to be evaluated for child abuse. And it's like, these are what's okay. So now that can translate into gay activity equates to child abuse. And now it's so, it can get all mixed up. And I think there's a big, big danger in that. And I think this can be used, unfortunately, to do a lot of harm to this specific group.
Something we talked about before we went on mic was this seems like an opportunity for the media and for the medical community to not repeat the mistakes of the past, specifically with what happened with the HIV and AIDS crisis in the early 80s. Are you having those talks among your colleagues about
yes.
how not to do that?
Yes, I think it's really interesting. You know, I'm younger, so I just talk to my older colleagues who were around in the HIV epidemic and see all the movies and stuff. And one of the nurse practitioners I work with who was a nurse on the HIV unit at Harper when we had an HIV inpatient unit and now is a nurse practitioner at Wayne, so he's been doing this for 30 years, he's saying, me and my patients are going through PTSD. This feels like how it was in the early 90s of so much fear, so much stigma, worried once again, like I'm out and I'm open and I'm liberated. And now can I not be? I think it's really difficult. This is an infection that is painful. It doesn't look nice. There's the fact that it is a sexually associated type of infection. There's a lot of stigma that's related around it. And I think we as the medical community need to be clear in kind of how it's transmitted, what we know and what we don't know, in that, like, really, really adamantly with unequivocally saying, this is not a gay infection, that doesn't exist. I will say this was out in the news, LabCorp, which is a lab testing, like they draw blood and run all the labs, that many of their employees, whether it's from the top down, whether it's policy, whether it's individuals, I'm not so sure, they don't feel comfortable drawing blood from people who are positive with monkeypox. If you're wearing PPE, you know, you're fine. And so kind of this thing of like not following the science and just perpetuating these, pretty stigmatizing policies or whatnot.
And we want to wrap up with you in just a few minutes here, but I want to ask about folks, I've been seeing on Twitter, there are some folks out there who have skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis, saying that, they've had bad interactions out in public from people seeing their skin and just not knowing what that was. So again, how do you make sure you can keep yourself safe, but also not stigmatize and not, throw this blame on people that don't deserve it, that obviously have other things going on?
Yeah, that's really difficult. I mean, I think that us becoming kind of whether medical community, and this is, I think, kind of besides this STI HIV world, a lot of us don't know what monkeypox is looking like. So making medical professionals educated, as well as the public, like going on CDC, looking at what the lesions look like, right? Eczema, I mean, there's many different forms of eczema, but in general, this isn't what it's looking like, right? This isn't when I'm seeing a patient with monkeypox, what we call part of my differential hasn't been eczema. It's been, is this syphilis? Is this herpes? Is this, some other type of infection? So I think like making ourselves knowledgeable so we don't cause harm.
Absolutely. Okay. Top three things we need to know right now about the virus. Can we just sum that up? And also want to, again, put out in it, this is a rapidly changing information landscape. So next time we have you on next month, there may be new information that's come to light. But right now, top three things that people just need to be aware of about this.
If you are eligible, please, please go get your vaccine. I would say kind of be thoughtful in times, what type of activity we're going to, kind of what type of party. So just making sure that you stay safe. So knowing the information and to make yourself safe. And that the third thing, what we didn't touch upon, there is a treatment if you are eligible for severe cases that we can give you access to at the STD clinic. So if you have a positive case, it's quite hard to get a hold of, but we have it. And If you're eligible, we can give that to you to hopefully minimize the symptoms.
Okay, and how do people get in contact with the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic again?
So the best way is calling this hotline, the 313-577-9080, in reference to anything monkeypox.
All right, thank you so much, Dr. Shira Heisler. It's the medical director of the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic. Thank you for joining Culture Shift again.
Thank you.